Hi, welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
Brian.
I'm Frank.
He is Frank. Frank Falbo joining us once again, making the most out of this since he lives 2,000 miles away.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. No, I just coincidentally wore the same shirt to three separate recording sessions.
It's getting expensive, though, flying him back and
forth. I know, right? That's three times now.
Talk monkey.
Talk monkey. But, yeah, thanks for joining into our talent show. I have a friend that...
Resting?
Yeah, he always says, I'll substitute the word crappy, but I'm sure you can, you know.
Right. Yeah.
He's like,
duty.
Yeah, he's like, man, when are you going to have me on your crappy talent show?
Right.
And
never
I said,
could you work that way?
And what I always say is like, well, develop a talent. Right. It's right. Funny because he plays guitar and he's listening to this. Okay, let's jump right in, right? Sure. Bobo... Bohannon?
That's what I get.
Bilbo Baggins. I got you.
I know that person. I think I know that name.
Are you being for real?
I'm being for real.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
What's Bobo short for?
I don't know. I believe it's a screen name. Maybe it's a real name.
But Bobo...
What's Todd short for? I hate the name Todd.
Todd-a-thee?
Todrick? I don't hate Todds. I know some Todds. I don't hate Todds.
Right.
Is it like...
Just hate his name.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big fan of Wesley either. That's my first name, so I don't go by it.
Right,
you know? Neither. I hate Wesley.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
Here.
Yeah.
But, okay.
For me, it's not so much about the name as it is
it's
the
just,
people.
It's just the guy, yeah. You know? It's the one that you know.
It's right. All of our personal experiences. You know? A lot of people don't like the name Adolf. You know?
Polish senses are like,
He said my Polish senses are tingling. I love where this is going. Let's just keep riffing this.
No. All right, so.
Okay, yeah.
Bobo Bohannon.
What is your opinion of tubes and pedals, and do some companies use them for function or show? Yes.
Yep. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Next question.
In my experiences, it's hard to know how hard the company is hitting the tube with amperage or voltage or whatever,
right.
Because you want to know what's really happening, you know, inside there. For the longest times, it was easy to characterize it. If you were plugging something in with a 9-volt adapter, you probably were starving the tube. Mm-hmm. You really probably weren't giving it enough juice so that within that circuit, it was a decorative device and a marketing tool.
Right.
Okay. And if you plugged it in AC or if it had a wall wart that converted to like, more current AC or you saw a big transformer in there.
That's what I was going to ask.
You knew that they were like bumping it up, you know.
Right. And can a 9-volt, can that power a transformer that will ramp it up?
It is. There's now like fun switching power supplies and things like that.
Okay.
That we've got, you know, so we've kind of gotten to over that hurdle to where it is possible now.
Okay.
That somebody has designed a tube pedal that runs off 9 volts, mm-hmm. and the tube is feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know? So it's not really something, that's not really an easy... a cheat sheet anymore,
mm-hmm.
like, oh man, they're running this thing on 9 volts.
Right,
you know.
Yeah, there it is feasible now.
Right.
It is feasible.
Let me ask you this, though. The pedals that are 9 volts that have a tube in them, and you said, you know, you're starving that tube. Is it possible that there's still enough power to actually light up that tube, or is it lighting up an LED underneath the tube to make it look like it's lit up?
It's easy to look in there and see. Now, there's people who put LEDs behind tubes just because that is part of the marketing platform, and they're not doing it because they're cheating and the tube isn't lit up.
Right.
They're doing it because it's cool.
It's
cute. Or they think it's cute. Right. That's adorable.
Stop.
Cray-cray adorbs.
It's cray-cray adorbs. totes right. Adorbs.
You totes have. Adorbs.
Totes adorbs.
Yeah, there's a lot of tube pedals though that are using op amps like to distort.
I gotta let
and
people
then,
know.
And then they
that.
Run it through a tube.
Yep.
And therefore it's tube.
Yep.
And like, dude, that all you're doing is like creating a low pass filter.
Right.
Basically.
That's right.
Okay.
You're just smoothing out some of the hash going through that tube. And there's amps that do it too. I mean, there's gigantic amps that get hot and run off a lot of power, and the preamp tubes in there are really just not getting hot because they go microphonic.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time
that
period.
Makes sense.
Yeah, there was a time Marshall. I don't think anybody would be upset if I said this, but like Marshall valve state amps,
right,
which are now discontinued. one of the things that I found out from some of the people that I know is that that period of time was such that tubes were becoming almost impossible to find. Not microphonic 12AX7s were becoming very difficult to find. And if you're sitting there, like we could all sit around and say, oh, I don't think, that's not my favorite sounding amp.
Right.
I kind of like
it. They had one, the 8100 or something like that. It was pretty good for heavier styles.
Right, good for bedroom level, you know, metal stuff, you know. But the truth is they sold a ton of them. So that means people did plug into them and like them and pay money for them. Mm-hmm. As much as we want to say, like, that, it should have been a two rock or something. That, it should have been this.
The price point was pretty good,
the
too,
the price
though.
Points were great. And so at that point, it was like, what am I doing? I'm going to, I'm either going out of business because I'm going to get my butt kicked in low cost, solid state / tube-ish amps. Right. Or I'm not. And the same held true for the JCM 900 when that came out. People go, there's a clipping diode circuit in there that's making solid state distortion like a distortion pedal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what? It sounds pretty good. And if you're Marshall, what choice do you have?
Right.
Like I said, when there's no tube supply, what are you doing? You know, you can't get a good tube that's not microphonic. What am I doing? Not, you know, am I going out of business? No. You know what? Marshall stayed in business, and they did pretty well.
And they're doing great now.
And they're doing great now. And, and so there's other tubes
and
that
they've
are,
been doing that for years. That what, the Marshall Artist, not the one from like the 70s, but the one in the 80s, like the little combos.
Okay.
I believe they were solid-state preamped, and then
could be
tube power section.
Yeah, it could be. So, I mean, some people do.
I bought a little
versa.
Marshall amp. It's about this big.
Yeah,
and I was disappointed because there weren't tubes in it.
Right, it didn't sound like a Marshall.
It's like the amp isn't even as big as a tube, but they should have figured out a way to get what it.
Come on, Marshall.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You know? Right. At least the Tolex didn't rip off.
That's true. Right. That's a good point.
Smelled like Band-Aids, though.
It did smell like Band-Aids.
But so that's the thing, you know, sometimes... there's mic preamps that use tubes that really aren't hitting them that hard. But you know what? Yeah. You might like the sound of your guitar through a microphone through that tube mic pre. So there are some legitimate reasons to go ahead and use a tube and have the thing sound good coming out the other side.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's if you think it sounds great, then it does sound great.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. Don't let anybody tell you something doesn't sound great. If it sounds great, then it sounds great.
Right. Right. What I don't like as a consumer, though, is... or even somebody who watches, I'm in product development, you know, and none of us like to see the cheaters win.
Of course.
And
of
so,
course.
So what I, you know, it's kind of fun to poke holes in somebody who says, this thing has real tube overdrive, and then you go, really? Because I took the tube out and it still made sound. You know? So the signal, you know, what are you doing? You're powering...
Right.
You know, what are you powering the air conditioning unit with that? What's going on?
So there are some smoke and mirrors, and then there's some stuff that where they actually utilize a tube, and then there's the hybrid thereof.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And there, so, you know, if some pedal uses a tube and the signal goes through a tube, they're not lying. But the question is, how much of a benefit am I getting out of it? And that's where you really it comes down to. If Brian has a pedal that sounds like an amp in a box, as we say, right, it's got all this stuff. If somebody comes out with something that's also a Marshall-y amp in a box type of thing or whatever, and there happens to be a tube physically located inside, it doesn't mean that that's going to sound more like the real amplifier because there's a tube located inside.
Right, but the marketing machine says it does.
Right.
You know,
and people want to believe that.
They do. Well, of course, and so that's why we do talk about that. You know, it's fun to expose when something's really is fraudulent.
Right.
But it does still go back to if it sounds good, just use it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I don't think enough people understand that, like, tube tone, air quotes, isn't just 12AX7s. I mean, there's like a whole bunch of stages of an amp that's clipping and doing compressing and doing
that's
stuff.
Right.
And
it
adds up to that tone. So.
Right.
And personally, I mean, in a perfect world, but let's face it, I'm not playing huge stages. In a perfect world, I would get power section clipping every time.
Right.
You know, to my ear, it sounds way better. Mm-hmm. No 12AX7 is ever going to sound like an EL34.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
That's clipping.
Right.
You know?
And you want to push the transformer and you want the speaker to move a lot.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Right. So throwing a tube into your little distortion pedal that's on your board, it doesn't get you there.
Right.
It might sound like a good distortion.
You know what I'm going to do?
But it doesn't get you there.
Right.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my Pinnacle. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going
to... Oh, yeah.
I'm
drill
gonna,
a hole in it and pop a 12X7
yeah,
off the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Just
yeah.
tape it.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. Yeah, no. Tape it over the LED. Tape it over the LED so when you pop it on...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's glowing. Yeah, it's glowing red.
That'd
yeah.
be awesome.
Just
yeah.
drill the holes for the pins.
So yeah, it's, yeah.
It's
so
over
it looks
the
like
LED. You drop it in over
no,
the
no, 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 no. I'll just rip the pins off and just mount it flush.
Right.
I glue it.
I glue it. Yeah. Hey, your wife's and my wife, they're in the crafts. They are crafty. With the wreaths and the baby things and whatnot, the baby headbands.
My crybaby right. actually just got a gold glue sparkle finish to it.
Dude, did you bedazzle your crybaby?
No, my wife did. We're like, she's like, I want to do something crafty. I'm like, I have a $35 watt pedal. Go nuts.
Dude, you have a bedazzled
watt. I got to take a picture of it.
I was about to say pictures or it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. I was like, fairies exploding.
Says who? Funny. No, I do got to see. I'm surprised you haven't showed that to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Frank, I'm going to hang a curveball to you here.
Mm.
So this guy says, what's his name? I don't want to just call him this guy. Jason Barnden. He says, I have a few questions, and I'm... Okay, well, I'll jump to the question. I own a Gibson ES355 TD. Now, is that the Lucille kind of thing?
I don't know.
Okay, I think I'd have to look that up. Max, can you look that up?
Yeah, but, actually, yeah.
The ES355 TD, which is a thin line, 1978. However, the guitar was in pretty bad shape when I got it a few years back. I cleaned it up so it was just playable. However, I never play it as it still requires a lot of work.
Hmm.
Recently, I've been toying with the idea that I want to replace all the gear inside it, and I was thinking of putting 1 meg pots in to make it nice and bright with a mono jack, because it's stereo,
right,
and removing the Veritone switch, as I never use this. Yeah, he has to be talking about the BB King, right? However, I'm at a loss for what pickups would go well with a semi-hollow body.
Uh-huh.
And he says he plays anything from Eddie Cochran to Eddie Van Halen.
Ah.
Ooh, okay.
So it's an easy request.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a simple, you know, simple one.
One thing I guess I would have to know first and foremost is... Is there a block running down that one? I think there is, right? It's semi-hollow?
Yep.
Or did he already say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, just change the knobs on it, I think.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, no, there is.
You're on one.
It's going to act like a semi-hollow. So the right. Van Halen part is, you know, more is going to have to come from your fingers
to
get there.
What about insulation? Just foam insulation? Just line it up.
Some people do it.
I know, right?
But it's
maybe sawdust.
It's a feedback.
Sawdust.
It's a feedback thing. But so you're already over. You have to overcome that. But let's back it up to this Veritone and all the electronics in it.
Mm-hmm.
If there are some people who like those guitars and they like the Veritones, if you already don't, then I do not consider it sacrilege. To pull all that stuff out.
Here's the thing. If you want a guitar that you're going to play,
right,
then who cares about originality? Well,
especially if it's not a Telecaster.
And there's no secret tricks, right? There's nothing where it's like, oh, man, but what you don't really realize is with that Veritone, you can do this. You know what? It's kind of not that great if you're not a Veritone guy.
Right.
If you like it, you like it. If you're not... Do not feel guilty about pulling that out. So I personally, as a player, I'm not a fan of it. I don't like altering the pickups with like capacitance and stuff before it hits the amp. It's just not my thing. Get a different pickup.
Right.
But I'm a pickups guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, it's like the Veritone is akin to bad modeling. You know,
it just puts
another level of disconnect between the pickup and the amplifier. It's, again, not to say that people don't like it. I mean, there's some guys that solo with the wah on halfway.
Yeah, cocked, yeah.
And that's what they like to...
Kurt Hammett, Mark Knopfler does that. He gets great tones
right
out of that. But I don't think Kurt Hammett knows there's an off switch to his wah pedal.
Right, right. You just step harder.
Just step harder, Kurt.
Faster.
So,
if you're watching this show, Kurt... I think it's awesome
we
watch the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we love you.
Yeah.
I love that you may have an expressive use of the wah pedal.
Yeah.
It's just
can I back up real quick?
Yeah.
Because we've gotten this question before. You know, so what is it? If it's single coils, this is traditional thinking. Single coils is 250K and humbuckers is 500 for the pot.
That's the consensus?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but there's no reason to... to fall in line with that. The higher the DC resistance of the pickup, the more that it might tend to want to interact with a lower value pot. So sometimes people say, yeah, humbucker, 500K, 250K. One misnomer that I'll point out is a lot of people say that a 250, you know, 500K is brighter than a 250K.
See, that's what I was going to ask.
That's a very simple way to put it. But what's more important, as far as I'm concerned, to characterize it is that what it's really doing is it's taking the resonant peak of the pickup, mm-hmm. so that high point in the pickup's timbre, which is, of course, almost always in the treble range, mm-hmm. so we do hear it as treble, and it's flattening that peak. So if you used a guitar with no pots, obviously it would sound too bright. The resonance of the coil would come through, and you'd have like this weird resonance because we're not used to that. We want to tamp it down a little bit.
And are we talking volume or tone pots?
It doesn't matter. Any resistance okay. in the chain, right, between the passive pickups, you know, okay. and then what comes next. But what it's really doing is it's, you know, that resonant peak is one of the big characteristics of the pickup. So what it's really doing is making the pickup sound a little bit less like itself.
Huh.
And so in a Strat, again, too much brightness in a Strat, you know, the bridge pickup, oh, yeah, oh my it's gosh, it's killing rough. My ears. You know, we do want it to kind of sound less like itself.
Right.
You know, like I don't want to hear that pickup, even a Tele. I don't want to hear that Tele pickup straight to the output jack. Do you know what I mean? Most people do not want to hear that.
I don't know.
They want to hear it running through a couple of potentiometers because
it knocks it down. My tone control away. I like to disable my tone control.
Yeah, he disables his tone control.
You do.
Just runs it straight.
The ones like that I use like videos or like prototyping, but like the ones that I'll play out.
Yeah.
Don't need that, dude.
Right.
Cut those wires.
Wow. Right. Which sounds different than just turning it up to 10 because it takes a serious resistance out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so resistive loading, you know, it reduces resonant peak of the pickup. Anyway, I digress. So if you want your pickup to sound brighter, sometimes that means, okay, go up in value. Okay. This guy's asking about a 1 meg potentiometer. Mm-hmm. And so that takes even more loading off of the pickup, and it brings out the resonant peak frequencies of the pickups even more. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, go ahead. Try 1 meg pots. You might find that it's too much, you know.
The only bummer about this is with it being the
hollow body.
Yeah. What's that?
It's a hollow body. So yeah, getting in and getting out.
Exactly. It's like, man, I don't know. You might want to try it before you stuff the electronics back in, man. Leave them out.
You know what? That's a great tip.
Yeah, man.
Wire it outside the instrument mm-hmm. and plug it in and play.
And alligator clips, man.
Or have a weekend to kill.
You know, before you put it back in.
And then big thing, too, to anybody that's ever wanting to change pickups, oh, man, alligator clips are your best friend, so mm-hmm. you don't have to solder anything. Yeah. I mean, it's basically kind of a way to breadboard it, right, if you want to think about it that way.
Yeah. With messing with amps, there's mm-hmm. a lot of alligator clipping that goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was at Duncan, I did something called a Liberator, which is a potentiometer that has screw terminals on the back of it. So every pickup change from that point forward, you got to solder it in place.
Right.
But once it's in there, every pickup change from that point forward is literally, it's a screw terminal in and out, right?
Nice.
And because it's screw terminal, not some pins, it's like every brand. Doesn't matter. You know, the wires are this red color scheme, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Just know what you're doing, but you can put them in and just screw them in. Problem is, how does that help you in a hollow body?
You know, right, yeah.
I mean, in a semi-hollow, it's like you still got to go in. It might help.
What a nightmare.
Right. It might help that you can take that pot out and just kind of move it over to the F-hole and screw, you know, do the screws.
Brutal.
But it's just, it's still kind of bad.
Like, and you know, I'm not a luthier by any means, but I can read a wiring diagram and I know how to solder. Mm-hmm. So I always do my own work.
Right.
Except for on a hollow body.
Yeah.
To me, I'll just take it someplace. I have no pride there. It's just here. I do not want to, like you said, I don't want to spend my weekend doing this.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But so the second half of this question is, you know, how am I getting pickups that make this guitar do two very different things?
Oh, man.
Or span this wide range? You know, and that is also kind of something that's in my wheelhouse because I started out my career with Seymour Duncan by having invented the P-Rails prior, mm-hmm. you know, which is a multi-voice pickup. It's mm-hmm. like saying, here's some P90s, here's a big fat humbucker, here's a vintage-y humbucker-y sound, and here's even a single coilish sound. Mm-hmm. And it's all in the same pickup. Now, it's passive, so everything is, you know, just passive coil selections and combinations.
Which is great.
But, you know, so that's an option for kind of getting that you know, it's kind of bridging, you know, getting having a guitar give you a wider vocabulary than just a PAF,
right.
Just a JB. Duncan has a pickup called a Custom 59 Hybrid, which is one coil from a 59 and one coil from a Custom. So even though it doesn't mean you have switching, you know, coil switching options, I mean, you still could coil switch it, but even just the voice of that pickup kind of lives in two places, you know. The resonant peak is kind of altered and smeared by the fact that you have two different, very different coils. If you don't mind a battery in the guitar and you don't mind new technology, and there's like a whole rechargeable pack on this thing where you can just plug in a USB.
But and what's this?
There's a Fishman Fluence pickups.
Oh, yeah.
That just came out with where each pickup has two completely different voices that are not really linked to one another. You can just, you know, I mean, it's really different in that case. So where you can, you pull the switch and go into like a Van Halen kind of sound, not a, you know, more of Van Hagar, right? Like the high output,
right.
You know, Customs, JBs, you know, that kind of thing. You can drop the switch and now you're back to like a PAF kind of thing. And so there's, you know, there's two ways to think of versatility. I'm going to put switches on my guitar to get me two different things, or I'm going to try to park the one thing kind of in the middle so that I can go this way, you know, or that way. And it requires a lot of experimentation, especially on a hollow body, because the guitar itself is really different than a guitar that Eddie Van Halen plays.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so you have to kind of know what that delta is before you can prescribe,
right,
you know, how to get there from where you are.
Now, I probably should have done more research on this before I brought it up, but I'm just riffing. Have you ever heard of this thing called the Redeemer?
Yeah.
Is it just a buffer?
Yeah.
Is that all it is?
Creation Audio. But it's really good.
Okay.
It's really good.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Creation Audio Labs has a Redeemer.
Redeemer. Is it a pedal by itself?
No, it's actually an electronics circuit that goes. Oh, it's onboard circuit, but
yes,
it just runs off a 9-volt, and I think it's just a buffer.
It's just, I mean, you know, you make a buffer and a boost. It's not just a buffer because it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Right, you know, yeah.
There's just a buffer that's not good.
Right, and I didn't mean it that way as far it's only a buffer.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is because I have had experience with the Dreamer, and it's really good.
Okay.
So there are little toy type, stick this in your guitar, and, you know, sound better buffers. That's the opposite of a buffer.
What was
that's
that?
He said there are things you can stick in a guitar to make it sound different. I said, like, the Black Ice.
Yeah.
Black Ice was basically, it was in a package of some sort.
Yeah.
It was marketed as passive distortion. All it basically was is two opposing diodes that you...
Oh, okay.
Right.
But do you remember those, was it Electra guitars?
Yes, Electra.
They had the little
modules
that you could plug in.
Yeah, a bunch
of
onboard
effects.
Did
you ever see those?
Yeah.
I remember when I first started playing guitar, I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
And this is an interesting story. My first ever guitar was supposed to be a Telecaster. Believe it or not.
Yeah, but your parents had good taste.
No, it wasn't that. It's just I saved up enough money for an electric guitar.
Oh, okay.
And then when I went to, it was a place called Roadworthy Guitar and Amp in Bloomington, Indiana. Yeah. I went up there, and of course, it was before the internet, you know, so you couldn't just, I should have called.
So you rode your horse there.
Right. Yeah, I rode my horse there, and by the time I got there, they had sold the guitar.
Oh.
And it was a 45-minute drive, and they'd sold the guitar, so I didn't buy a Telecaster. No.
Hence, you became a Strat man.
I became a Strat guy.
Man. Yeah, good for you.
If only you had a faster horse.
If only I had a faster horse. That reminds me of a story. What's that video game you used to always play?
Asteroids.
No, the one Pac-Man? With the horses, where all you do is run around on horses.
Oh,
the
Red
whole
Dead
time.
Redemption.
Oh my
what?
God! I'll never forget whenever I first started working here. I started working here. the 1st of December, okay?
Yeah. A while back.
In 2012, I think. Yeah. So then it wasn't even a month after I'd been working here, and it was a snow day. You know, I tried going to the office, and I called Brian. I was like, I can't get to the office. He's like, dude, why'd you even come in?
Right.
He's like, it's terrible out there, so go home.
Yeah.
So I went home, and, you know, I was working, and he was like, what you working on? And I, you know, at this point, I just know him as Brian the Boss.
Right.
You know, so I tell him everything I'm working on, give him detailed report. He was like, okay, cool, shut that off. Let's play video games. I said, what? He's like, it's an Xbox date, bro. And he was like, so I was thinking he was going to say like Call of Duty or something. He's like, let's play Red Dead Redemption. I'm like, what is that? But sure enough, somehow I had the game.
Really?
So, yeah, so we wound up playing video games with Miles Aubrey.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah, who was just in the Clint Eastwood movie, Jersey Boys. Mm-hmm. So, wow. But yeah, that was like my third week working here. I was like, this is going to be a pretty cool gig. Right.
Snow days are fun.
Yeah, snow days are fun.
Right, but they end.
Yeah.
And then the next day you're going to wear it back to work.
Yeah, right. But, you know, let's face it, you talk about guitar gear, you know? Right. There's worse jobs. You know,
correct.
Yeah, you have to talk about Stratocaster.
Hey, but I own two Telecasters, so you can't.
Actually, I needed a good Strat. I
need one. Hashtag Whitfield.
Actually, you saw my Strat last night, and we're remarking about how terrible the pickups were in it.
Oh, right.
I'm wide open to trying new pickups. Yeah. Just saying. Got pickups?
Yeah.
We have a podcast.
I think. Right. Listen to him.
Just saying, humbucker, single coil.
Yeah.
Or two extra P rails for Travis, but I'll buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just later, and don't tell my wife.
I don't really have those kinds of connections anymore. Yeah. But I can give you some names.
You can get okay, fair enough. Which you have done before, which I'm very appreciative of. But
yeah, he's called me some names too.
Yeah, we already said he hates Wesley, so I guess he could just call me Wesley, and that's the same thing as an insult, right?
Yeah. You know? I use Wesley as a pejorative.
That's what Dean calls me is Wes.
Wes.
I call him William.
Dean from WGS. Yeah.
We got to get him on here. You think he'd do it?
We got to get him and Daniel. Mark.
Well, dude, we will go down to Paducah and just bring the rig.
We need need to take this show on the road to Paducah, Kentucky, at WGS speakers.
Dude, chasing.
And, you know, have it with Daniel and Dean.
Dude. Yeah.
Then you're actually chasing Tone.
Then we actually are chasing.
Yeah. Right. Daniel Walsh. Right.
This is more like chasing your tail.
This is more like chasing your tail rather than Tone. Yeah.
So what you're saying is we're going on tour.
Awesome.
True.
Live studio audience.
We're getting a van.
Who would come? Come on, people. Who would come watch this show in a live studio audience?
Yeah.
If we were close to you.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome. That'd be fun.
That'd be fun.
We could feel the questions. We could field questions from people.
If you said anything, this whole podcast.
I think in the beginning and now. I did make this cool paper airplane, though.
That was awesome.
Wait. It's got something going on. Ooh. Oh. No way. You couldn't do that again if
cut
you tried.
Cut to that camera.
Cut to that camera.
Oh, yeah. My
kind of
God.
Kind of an expert.
If for those of you just listening.
Except you were aiming for this
Max,
one.
Max threw his paper airplane.
He's been working on it the entire episode.
Oh, that's right. This is also radio.
Yeah, right. So
it's not video.
Right. Yeah. So he fires it. Well, not even fire, just lofts it towards his camera. And might I say, there's an oscillating fan.
Well, I timed it out, so the fan went this way. I've been thinking about it for the last 20 minutes. I'm not talking.
Yeah, you haven't been doing anything else.
Strategizing, aiming.
That's so awesome.
No, because how it started was, I was like, I don't have any, everybody else is reading notes. I don't have notes. And Brian says, here's your notes. And it's just literally a blank piece of paper with his email header. It's like the extra page that prints out with everything else.
Make it feel important.
So I was like, it just had.
You did that on purpose.
Literally, like, it's a blank. It's a blank piece of paper. It just has like Brian Wamper pedals at the top or something. Yeah, it's that page. Like they print it off extra.
Right.
So I was like, okay, cool. I got the question. Crap.
I thought you were actually giving him like one of your papers.
No, I just tried to make him feel important.
It's a piece of paper that says time to order more.
Yeah.
Oh.
And at some point in the episode, you guys are talking about tech stuff, and I'm playing with a plane, crashing it in stuff, and pretending like I'm a fighter pilot.
I'm actually gonna have to watch this podcast.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, too
that
much.
That could be a show in and of itself. Is just the Max Cam over the actual podcast.
My favorite one. I forget what episode it is, but look through the comments. Somebody writes 23 minutes. Max's struggle. And what was happening? Did you see this? Did you rewind it and watch what it was?
Yes.
Did you see this? Okay. No. So you had awesome. You had your notes and you had your MacBook. Well, you put your notes on your MacBook, and because of the static or whatever, they kept sliding off. So you didn't even know it, but you kept going. You kept picking him back up and put him on that. Then you'd try to move the MacBook, and then you'd put the papers back on.
Screenshot.
But it was so funny, man, awesome. Because somebody just wrote 23 minutes, Max's struggle. I'm like, who watches that and picks up on that of all the things?
Somebody at one point had like screenshotted like random stuff that I've done. They're like. It captioned it, so it's like Max's tickle, and I was like, "This,
yeah,
it's gonna go viral, like the cat videos."
Yeah, but Okay, well, man, Frank, thanks so much for doing all these, man.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, it's been great and great.
I like having Frank on. I don't have to talk as much.
And you get to make airplanes.
Yeah.
Make airplanes.
But it is cool because, like, you guys are both, like, I mean, I'm going to catch slack from being, you know, a brown noser, but you guys truly are experts in your field. You know what I mean?
Brown noser.
Sure. Well, seriously, I mean, you literally wrote the book on effects.
Yeah, but doesn't mean it was a good book.
Hash brown brown nose.
Hash brown brown nose, right? But trash bag brown nose. But, and obviously, you know, you've created quite a few things, so it's cool.
An enemy.
What'd you say? An enemy?
No, I'm joking.
No, seriously. But no, thanks, Frank. Check Frank out, falboguitars.com. Unbelievable guitars. Check out Max's beautiful singing voice. Was that this episode we talked about this, or was that last episode?
I forget.
Different episode.
Damn
but still,
it.
Check it out. Just Google Max's voice.
That's the reason you mentioned it now, because you haven't mentioned it in this episode
yet. Okay, yes, that's why.
That's why.
Right, ringing it.
Right.
There you go. But yeah, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes. Leave us comments.
Send us a letter through the mail.
Yeah, Pony Express. Yeah.
Wax Seal.
Yeah, Wax Seal if you're going to do it, though.
Right, do it right.
Podcast at WamplerPedals.com. Thanks again to Frank Falbo. For Max and Brian, I'm Travis.